Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. We'll let the kids go downstairs to their time together this morning. I'm just going to lay some groundwork because our time has gone by so quickly this morning. You know, Christians, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to have a spirit, an attitude, a lifestyle of being content. We see this modeled in Scripture through the lives of many individuals, and one of the ones that we're going to look at briefly this morning is in the life of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me." So Paul's beginning this portion of Scripture by admonishing those who would be reading this that the things which they learned, the things which they received, the things in which they saw that were evident and active in the life of Paul. I have always believed in my life. There have been moments where I've wondered if what I believed was true, but because of, you know, lack of maybe seeing responses or whatever like you think you should see. But I have always believed in my life that the best way for us to live is by example. That if we live by example, if we live based on what God's Word says we should do, that others should organically see that, according to Scripture, they should see that, it would even cause within them rejoicing, and it would cause a desire and a hunger within them to want to be like you. When you get up in the morning, do you ever think to yourself, will my life today represent Christ in such a way that those who come in contact with me will want to be like me because I am like Christ? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so as we follow Christ, others will come into line and into alignment, and they will follow us. And Paul's saying here, the things which you have learned, the things which you have heard. And if you've been a Christian, regardless of whatever period of time it is, whether it's weeks, months, days, years, you have begun to learn some things that you didn't know before you became a Christian. Those things which you've received, things that you've heard with your ears and you started to believe in your spirit, and that you saw evident within maybe my life or others' lives that you've come in contact within this body of believers or others that maybe you have come in contact with over your life. These things, Paul said, do. He said, these things which you've learned, received, heard, and saw, do. It's not good enough to just learn, receive, hear, and see, but we must do them. The Scripture says faith without works is dead. In other words, if we don't put into practice that which we've learned, if we don't begin to apply the things that we've learned in our lives, then what good is the learning? What good is learning if we never grow and we never mature and we never do anything with the things we learn? You know, it's amazing to me the gifts and the talents and the abilities that people have that they just allow to lie dormant. When God has given such talent, such gift, such ability, you say, I don't have any talent. Yes, you do. Because if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then you are incredibly creative. You are incredibly gifted. You just not yet have realized whatever that gift, talent, or ability may be. But if you will open your heart and you will seek the direction and the will of God and you will begin to put your hand to the plow, I can promise you, you will find what it is. It will come naturally to you because it comes in and through you from the throne of God, from the giftings and the abilities that He Himself gives to us. So Paul says, these things, do them. do them. And the God of peace will be with you. I've heard people say, I don't feel God with me. I don't sense God with me. I don't even know if God's with me. I just feel sometimes like God's not even around, like he's forgotten me, or he's left me, or he's abandoned me. He's too busy working on everyone. He's too busy fulfilling all those other things for those people who stood today and all those other people that you testified. He ain't got time to do my thing because he's doing their thing. No, he's a big, big God. He's a good, good Father. And the Bible says he is the giver. Say giver. He is the giver. Somebody said to me one time, why? I love to give. My wife will tell you, I will give to a fault. I am a giver. But you know what? I can't help but be, Cindy, because the heart of my Father is in me. And the heart of my Father is a giver. Scripture says he is the giver. He's not the stingy one. He's not the mean one. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. I like to give good gifts. I got that naturally from my parents. When my parents got saved, God gave them hearts of givers. My parents are some of the most extravagant givers I have ever, honestly, ever known in my life. Have they failed in their lives? Absolutely. Have they been way less than perfect? Absolutely. But I can tell you this, that when they dedicated their heart to the Lord, they wanted to do things that pleased God. And even sometimes in their shortcomings and their failures, my parents were extravagant givers. Give, give, give. Giving of time, talent, effort, resources, money. I've seen my parents give more. At times, even when it took great sacrifice for them to give, they gave. And I watched how God poured it back into them. Because his word says, what a man soweth, that also shall he reap. The Bible says, do not become weary in doing good. For in due time, you will reap if you do not give up, if you do not quit, if you do not fail. There's enough quitters in the world. There's enough people that quit in the world. The church should not be quitters. Followers of Jesus Christ should not be quitters. And we should be encouraging those who are on the brink of quitting. Those who are on the verge of giving up. I read an article the other day how suicide is at such a high level right now in the world. Suicide. Why would a person do that? Because they have no hope. That's why. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how much money is in a bank account. It doesn't matter how big a house is. It doesn't matter how wealthy or well-to-do. Listen, hopeless people can be on any spectrum of the world. And of the social status. What would cause someone to jump from a bridge? Hopelessness. What would cause someone to take a knife to their wrist? Hopelessness. What would cause someone to drive their car off of an embankment? Hopelessness. What would cause someone to put something around their neck and choke the life out of themselves? Hopelessness. But I'm here today to tell you that there is hope in Christ Jesus. As long as you have breath in your lungs, there is hope. You can't give up, because you may give up at the moment before the victory came. The moment before. Paul said, these things which you've learned, you come to churches, you sit in buildings like this, whether it's this one or another one, and you've done it some periodically over the years, some consistently over the years, some just out of habit over the years. But it should be out of desire and passion that we long and we seek and we desire to be more like Christ. And that's what will stir and cause revival to break out in our hearts. When we see ourselves and lieu of the cross, when we see ourselves in light of the cross and we understand what he's done for us because of the cross of Calvary and his blood shed for us, how can we not do these things that he did? He even said, greater things shall you do in my name. Wow, that's amazing. He did some pretty amazing things. And then Paul says, hey, these things which you've learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these things, do it. And if you do these things, if you learn, if you receive, if you hear, and if you do what I have done, the God of peace will be with you. That's good news. In a lonely, hurting, discouraging, frustrating life at times, life is too short to get caught up in being miserable. Jerry, I'm learning, and as I get older, man, there just ain't a lot to be miserable over anymore. It really isn't. And most of the stuff we become so frustrated over, so anxious over, so worrisome over, they're not big. They're not earth-shattering things. Life is too short. None of us know the day or hour. Like, yeah, I have no idea if I'll stand in this pulpit next Sunday morning and preach to you. I have no idea right now at this moment. Maybe the Lord would call me home this week. And maybe you'd all gather at a place and say, oh, wasn't he a special guy? Oh, he was so nice. Boy, he could preach a sermon. Well, at least I'd hope you'd say that. And he... I told my wife, I think at some point I'm going to sit down and I'm going to video my funeral. I'm going to preach my own funeral service. I think I'm going to sit down, I'm going to video it, and I'm going to store it, and then someday they can pull it out and I'll preach my funeral service. I think that'd be really cool. If I could get them to stand me up behind the pulpit, that would be excellent. You know, they may have to put me on a dolly or something, but that'd be all right. That'd be... And Brett, I bet you would laugh, wouldn't you? But listen, we do the things that we do, not for accolades, but for the kingdom. And life is short, and that's all I'm saying by that. I have no death wish, and honestly, I really believe I'll be here next week because I believe that the things God has spoken me to do, I cannot accomplish in a week. So I really do believe I'll be here next week and not in heaven, but that's just because I know in my spirit things God's given me to do and things that I have not yet accomplished. And I know that made you feel really good, didn't it, honey? I'm still going to be around. Yeah. The Lord will be with us. So when we're frustrated and we're anxious and we want to worry, just remember, it's going to be all right. You may be like James and think the bottom's falling out. I lost my job. Well, you got one and paid $50,000 more. But sometimes he don't always tell us those things, does he, James? Sometimes he says, step out onto the water. Sometimes he says, take a step. But I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Just start walking. And then he starts opening doors for you. But this God will be with you. He said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished. Again, he's talking to the people about how they were supporting his ministry and how they were supplying things for him as he would go and share the good news of the gospel. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. He said, I'm not speaking to you because I'm regarding need or I'm asking you for anything. He said, because I have learned. Remember how I started these things off? The things which you have learned. He said, listen. I have learned, and we as followers of Jesus Christ, we as born-again, spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ, we got to learn this. We got to get this straight, because it's vitally important to our testimony that others see us, others hear us. What you see, what you hear, what you learn. So Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Don't shut off on me now. Don't shut down on me. We're almost done. Whatever state I am. How many of you find yourself in a place right now? I don't mean like the state of Pennsylvania. The state of your well-being. The state. You find yourself in a condition, in a place. Listen to what he said. To be content. To be content. I've learned. It didn't come naturally. It didn't come instantly. But he said, I have learned. And these things which you have learned, and you have received, and you have heard, and you and saw in me, do these things. God will be with you. I have learned some things along the pathway of life. How many of you have learned some things? George told me we're celebrating a little over 10 years of George and Jen being members of Harvest Church. And we were talking about starting a young adult class at that time. I said, did you ever look back and think, I can't believe some of the things I said back then? He said, yep. But you know what? We grow, right? We learn and we grow. How many ever thought something and realized what you thought wasn't right? And you changed your mind. How many know that's all right? How many know that's all right? You realize you thought something was right, and then all of a sudden you find out that it wasn't right because you've learned, you've grown. I'm trying to help you this morning that worrying, stressing, and being full of anxiety and all those things, it's not right. You need to learn. No matter where you are, to be content. Why? Because greater is because I, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Why can I be content? That right there. Because his word is everlasting truth. I have learned to be content. Take a deep breath right now. Just go. Turn to somebody and say, take it easy, greasy. No, don't say that to him. We used to say that when we were kids. Take it easy, greasy. You got a long way to slide. Learn to be content in life. He said, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. He says, I know what it's like to have not. And I know what it's like to have. I know what it's like to want. I know what it's like to want what I want when I want it. Hey, that almost sounds like a rap song. I'm not, no. I want what I want, what I really want. No. I know how to have little. And I know how to have more. I know what it's like to be in lack. I should have had Cassie run up and do it for us this morning. Everywhere and in all things. Say all things. But, no, 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 no. But, no, 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 no. In all things I have learned. Anybody getting that? This is a big one. Discontentment in life. Frustration in life. I have learned everywhere and in all things, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But you know what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do hunger because he strengthens me. I can do blessing because he strengthens me. I can do hardship because he strengthens me. I can do lack because he strengthens me. I can go through loss because he strengthens me. I can go through sickness because he strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me because I have learned. Can we say that today? In Hebrews 13:5, he says, Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Well, you talk about contentment. If he says, I'll be with you, if he says, I won't leave you, if he says, I won't forsake you, the state of being contented, satisfaction, ease of mind, contentment, discontentment, a lack of, a restlessness, a restless desire, or a craving for something, a want, a need, a desire for something that we want or something that we want to take place. We become discontented. We become dissatisfied. We become restless in the desire or the pursuit of something or someone. Dissatisfaction, restlessness, uneasiness, regret, displeasure, unhappiness, envy, vexation, discontentment, depression, and fretfulness. Fretfulness. That's why we're called to put our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because in him is the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles, but not when we're disgruntled, not when we're restless, not when we're uneasy, not when we're regretting, not when we have displeasure, not when we're unhappy, not when we're envying everybody and everything else. Not when we're the victim and not the victor. Depression. Fretfulness. How do you know if you're discontented? I'm going to close with this one thought, and I want to let this stir in you. I want to let it stir in you. Till next week. Are you grumbling and complaining about something in your life right now? If the answer is yes, you are in discontentment. You are discontent. We're going to talk to you about that next week. We're going to share with you how those things, how the enemy tries to bring those things into our life and how those things can affect our life and how they can take us out of what God has for us, what God desires for us, the nothing missing, nothing broken, the I would that you would prosper and be in health. And that word prosper, don't get all balled up with that. That just means total well-being, every area, aspect of your life. It's not having $500 in your pocket today, going out and blowing it all this afternoon. It's about being content in him, putting your confidence and your trust in when the bottom falls out, when heartbreak comes, when you mess up so bad that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead now quickens us. So if you're here today and you find yourself disgruntled, you're frustrated, you're angry and you don't even know why you're angry. You get angry so easy, so frustrated so easy, so restless so easy. You know, according to statistics, I'm talking to a large number of you here today. According to statistics, I'm talking to a large number of you today. Because that's kind of what's happening in people's lives today. Wealthy people disconnected, disgruntled, discouraged, frustrated, reckless. Middle class people that are barely getting by from paycheck to paycheck, struggling. Doesn't matter what classification or category this world tries to put you in. This reaches and goes through the spectrums of all of them. But it's not what God has for us. It's not what Christ's best is for us. He has a better plan. How many of you know that? He has a better plan. You know, it's hard to pull somebody else up out of the muck and mire when we're playing in it ourselves. You know, it's hard to pull somebody else out of discouragement when you're discouraged. When you're unhappy, it's hard to bring somebody else into a place of happiness. When you're frustrated, you can't pull somebody else out of frustration. And I want to tell you something. If you're there and somebody's trying to pull you out, let them pull you out. Most of the time, it's like this. I read one time not long ago, a pastor said, 3/4 of the sermons that he preaches, he feels a war going on from those who are sitting listening to what he's saying. Because everything he's throwing out, he says he feels like there's a war pushing back against it. Why? Because people are frustrated. Don't tell me to be happy. How many of you like me to come in next week and say, y'all know what? Just a bunch of miserable coots. Give up on life. Everybody just go out and hang yourselves this afternoon or do something crazy because you ain't worth it. No, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? I know there's a better way. I know there's a better life. And I have come to walk in the fullness of knowing that wherever I am, and we've been there, haven't we? We've been so poor. And we've smiled through that poor. When we ate spaghetti without sauce, we were so poor. One of my kids said to me this just past week, Dad, we never knew we were so poor when we were young. But now when you share those stories, we look back and think, that's why we ate like we did. That's what we didn't tell anybody. Because we knew that our God, I don't care about other people's God, but I'm telling you about my God. I'm telling you this God I serve. He said he shall supply all, and he did, didn't he? We never missed a meal, did we? We never went hungry. There was food on the table every night, wasn't there? We never once went without a roof over our head. We never once went without a car to drive. We never once went without clothes on our back. Because our God declared he shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. And I have learned. I don't have to tell men what my needs are. I'm in a better place telling Jehovah what my needs are. Because Jehovah is the one who has an endless supply. He's the one who can meet every need according to his riches in glory. Worship team, you better get back up here. I'll go all day if you don't. You're here today and you've got that disgruntledness in you, that disgruntled spirit, that discontentment, that frustration. You got to learn, because if you don't, life is going to just be so hard. My wife and I sat the other day and we were having a conversation. Bless her heart. My wife is just She's one of the most unique people I've ever known in my life. She really is. She could talk somebody off a ledge in 10 seconds. I mean, she just so gentle and so compassionate and so loving and caring. And she said to me, "Sean, I just don't understand. Why are people so miserable? Why can people just be so unhappy? Why can't they just be? Because they're not content." Because the truth is, we haven't learned. But I pray today. Well, he's all right. He's not a creep or anything. He's just coming up to the platform. Everybody's watching you like they don't know what you're going to do. He's content. He's content to get up here on the platform. You going to run? Oh, okay. Josh, you got another run in you? Your knee's still not hurting? All right, go around the building again. Come back in and tell us how it feels. Never seen a kid so eager to run before. But you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, some of you just need to have a good laugh. I'm serious. Some of you just need to learn how to laugh again. You know, I got to be honest, sometimes the church will steal your laugh. Sometimes religious people will steal your laugh. Sometimes you just got to learn how to laugh again. Oh, there he goes. How many want me to send him around again when he comes back in? My wife said, "Don't do it." She said, "Don't do it. Come on, as fast as you can. Come on." Well, that's not very fast. Come on, turn it on. No pain? No pain? All right, go again. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead, sit down. Go ahead, sit down. Come on, stand with me this morning. We're going to close. You know, the house of the Lord should be the most joyful place you'll ever go. The house of the Lord should be the place that you experience and find the most life. The house of the Lord is a place that you should be able to go and rejoice.
Yes.
And find comfort and find strength. And be able to say, a year ago, I was so drop-dead drunk, I was 2 hours away from home, sleeping at a red light, and people say, "Thank God you came home." Yes. That's church. That's church. Church is a place where somebody's got an addiction and other people are on their knees crying and pleading with God to help that person get out from under those chains that have hindered them. That's church. Church is when your heart's so broken that you can't see beyond the tears streaming down your face and others are wrapping their arms around you and supporting you. That's church. Church is when you're so beat up and you're so frail and you don't know what to do with the rest of your life and there's people here that say, "Come on in, let us love you." That's church. See, we love you when you're dirty and we love you when you're clean. Because God's called us to love one another, amen? But I just want you to learn some things. I pray you will. I think all the time, 32 years of ministry, and you know, as you start to get older, you start thinking more about, you know, how much longer those things will be and how much time you got and all that kind of thing. And my whole life, all I've wanted to do is pull people out. My whole life, all I've wanted to do is pull people out. Because I know what it's like to have been pulled out. When you know what it's like to have been pulled out, you won't be able to keep yourself from pulling other people out. Because I knew where I was going. I was going to hell. And I got pulled out. And there were times my life wasn't representing what it should have. And I got pulled out. I remember sometimes my words weren't reflecting what they should have, and I got pulled out. I just want to help you. I just want to help see you get pulled out to become everything that God designed for you to be and living your life so full that you are at peace and you are happy. That people will say, what in the world did they do up at that church in Derry? Them people are so happy. Some people say they must be smoking something up there. They're so happy. Just tell them, no, they're drinking. That'll get some people. Them people up at Harvest, they're drinking. We're drinking from the wells of living water. Drinking from a well, Jerry, that'll never run dry. Never run dry. Jehovah. I want to pray with you this morning. Father, I pray today for every individual that's here today. And according to statistics, Lord, there may be some on this platform that are weary and frustrated. Some in this congregation that have given up hope and discontented and disgruntled, angry and bitter, worrying and stressed out, and wondering why and how, and if you're such a good God, why don't you? And there may be some that, like Jim many years ago, thinking the bottom fell out. When the bottom falls out, you have no idea where you're going. But today we have confidence in knowing that if you be for us, what do we have to fear? We've learned that we can be content. We can take a deep breath. We can chill out. We can relax. Because we know you got it all in control. Even when we don't think it's in control, and that's part of our problem, Father. We are control freaks. We got to control everything and everybody. And if we can't, then we freak out. If everything don't go just the way we want it to go, if everything just don't happen the way we want it to go, then we freak out. But oh Lord, how you calm the freak out. You are a God of peace. So in all of our weariness and all of our struggles, Lord, we come to you today. We thank you for the time of worship, being in your presence. We thank you for your word spoken to our hearts. And now, Lord, we ask today that you would help us to be imitators. Imitators of your word. Duplicators. We would do what you have said. And today we will walk out of this place, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 in. We will trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We will not become weary. We will not grow faint. We will not give up. We will not become disgruntled. We will not get mean and nasty. We will not talk like unbelievers. We will not speak like people without faith. But God, today we will trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We will lean not on our own understanding, because we realize that ain't got us anywhere. But we will trust in you, because you are a good, good Father. So strengthen your people today. Gird them up. Just as when Peter was sinking, Lord, you reached out your hand and you pulled him up out. I pray today it will be a massive pulling out. We'll be set free from all those feelings, all that stress, all that worry. We will know today without a shadow of a doubt we can trust you. I have learned. I have learned that there is no God like Jehovah. I have learned that you are great and greatly to be praised. You are worthy. Listen, when you ain't got anything left to give, you got one more hallelujah inside you. You got one more how great is our God in you. You got one more there's no one like our God in you. You got one more it is well with my soul in you. You got one more how great thou art in you. You got one more amazing grace in you. With the breath of your lungs, give Him praise because He's worthy. He's worthy.